They are violently destructive for their own gain. You need to see that. To see the warning is very, very important. You know, if you're a good parent, you warn your children, watch out for that. Watch out for that dog. That's a mean dog. It'll bite you, right? You know, and God cares for us. He says, turn away from these false teachers. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but they are inwardly ravenous wolves.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, as we prepare to look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, you're going to take us to Matthew chapter 7.
Yes, I do, Dave, and it's in this chapter in verses 15 to 20 that we're going to see Jesus' warning concerning false prophets. And this will be a great help for us as we continue our study in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. So then, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we're looking at verses 15 to 20.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, we've been studying the book of Colossians, and we've come to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. And Paul writes to Colossians, he says, see to it that no one takes you captive. And we'll see that word speaks of kidnapping and taking something as booty, taking it as profit through philosophy or empty deception according to the traditions of the world, according to the principles of men, the ABCs of man's wisdom. And we've been looking at that, and we've been looking at the Apostle Paul sharing the solution to the false teachers and their message, which is a focus on the person of Jesus Christ. And as we're going to this passage in Colossians 2:8 is what I was going to study today, but I thought we'd take a diversion today and go to the Gospel of Matthew and look at what the Lord Jesus has to say, look at his warning before we come back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. So turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to be looking at verses 15 to 21, and we're going to see how we can escape from being destroyed by false teachers. Again, turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And I'm going to go back a couple verses for context. The Lord Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Now today, within this warning, I believe we're going to see the extreme danger that these false prophets, and thus as we will see false teachers, oppose. And also we're going to see the Lord unmask their deception and reveal that their deeds will make them known, that their deeds will expose them, and that their damnation is sure, and that we thus should heed the warnings. So how are we to keep from being destroyed by false teachers and teaching? First of all, we need to recognize there's a danger. There's a danger out there. Again, we start with verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Now, before we look at this command here, which it is a command, by the way, by the Lord Jesus, let's take a look at the context. So far in the book of Matthew, King Jesus has been introduced, and the way has been prepared for him by the call through John the Baptist for repentance. And he has called then his disciples to follow him. And then we come to, in this portion here, the teaching of the king, the portion we call the Sermon on the Mount. And it's within this section of chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew that King Jesus presents kingdom righteousness, which confronts phony righteousness, which is really lawlessness. That's really what the Sermon on the Mount is about. And so here, Jesus is speaking to those who are in spiritual darkness. They thought they were saved, yet they had been willingly misled by the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, as we'll see. And Jesus is unveiling the hypocrisy of the Pharisees' lives and their teaching, and that these Jews had bought into it. We see that in this Sermon on the Mount. And so consistently through this Sermon on the Mount, he's unveiled that most of them are not in the kingdom. We'll see that, those, by showing what someone who truly is in the kingdom looks like. You can spot who's not saved by looking at the true thing, the genuine article, as we say. And so the Lord Jesus comes to this point in summary at this point where he says, enter by the narrow gate, chapter 7, verse 13. And indeed, Jesus Christ is the gate. He is the one. He is the one who we have to enter through for salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to have eternal life apart from faith in Jesus Christ. It is through him alone that we can find salvation from sin. He died for our sins and he rose from the dead. And when we trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, we are saved. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so he has been exposing throughout these chapters, 5 through 7, the false guys, the bad guys, what genuine faith looks like in the light of their faith, which is not faith at all. And then he says, enter through the narrow gate, which is him. And so with this in mind, he then reveals there are two gates and there are two roads. And these two roads have two eternal destinies. One is life and one is destruction. One is narrow and one is broad. And so he calls upon you to make a decision, the most critical of all decisions concerning Christ and his kingdom. And the outcome of this decision affects your eternal destiny, whether you'll spend it in torment for your sin or you'll spend it in glory with the Lord Jesus. So he says, enter by the narrow gate. And he's saying that because the road you guys are on, this context, these Jews who had rejected him but had bought into the false teaching, was leading to destruction. It was the broad road. It leads to destruction. And so he gives the warning. And so at this point, after saying enter by the narrow gate because the broad road leads to destruction, he then gives warnings to entrance, the things that may thwart you from actually entering the narrow gate, those things that would be in the way while you're on the narrow road. You see, when we come to faith, we then walk in the narrow road, in a sense. We are on our way to eternity, but we are still being changed and made more like Christ. But there are threats to that. And so right after this portion where he says, enter the narrow gate, he gives a warning. And that's what we're looking at in verse 15. He says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. The term beware of here is quite interesting because it has the Greek word prosecho. That means to take heed by turning your attention to. And I understand it. If I'm supposed to watch out for something, I'm going to pay attention to it. Watch out for that car out there, you know, or whatever it might be. I'm going to turn and pay attention to it. And then he adds in here a Greek preposition from. He says, turn your attention from, which is translated beware. Turn your attention from the false teachers, the false prophets. Don't look at them. Don't pay attention to them. Beware of them. That's really what he's talking about. It's not something just to be aware, but it's to turn away. They're around. There are bad guys all around, as we see, and as we will see. So he's saying, take heed by turning your attention away from. So with this in mind, it's a warning, it's a command. We are to beware of the false prophets. We are to take heed to turn away from, as Jesus would say here, false prophets. Now we know the term prophetes, prophet, speaks of one who spoke forth. And in a biblical context, there were prophets who spoke for God. Thus saith the Lord. They were sent by God and they were given God's word to speak. And so they would say, thus saith the Lord. And in an Old Testament context, I mentioned this earlier, but we'll look at it a little more in depth right now. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 5. Because at the point of Judah's apostasy, before they were taken into exile, they were replete with false prophets. They were everywhere and they were listening to them. And so God is clarifying, hey, these guys are bad. They don't speak for me. And so we need to look at this. Jeremiah 5 verse 30. An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely and the priests rule on their own authority. And my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it? Now let's go to Jeremiah 23. See, there were false prophets and there will be, and we'll see there will also be false teachers. There's always the false right now along around the true. Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep on saying to those who despise me, thus the Lord has said, you will have peace. And as everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his heart, they say, calamity will not come upon you. Now go up to verse 20. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days, you will clearly understand. I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. He's saying, if I sent them, they would have announced my words to turn my people away from their evil sin. Let's look at verse 25. I've heard what the prophets have said and prophesy falsely in my name, saying, I had a dream. How long is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsehood, even those prophets of the deception of their own heart, who intend to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which they relate to one another, just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal? The prophet who has a dream may relate his dream, but let him who has my word speak my word in truth. What does straw have in common with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters rock? Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from one another. Behold, I'm against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare, the Lord declares. Behold, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams, declares the Lord, and relate them and lead my people astray by their falsehoods and reckless boasting. Yet I did not send them or command them, nor did they furnish the people with the slightest benefit, declares the Lord. They're false prophets, but all the way through Israel's history. And the Lord Jesus here is saying, beware the false prophets. And we know that there are those who do speak for God. We know in the Old Testament that God brought them forth. We know in 2 Peter chapter 1 that no prophecy of Scripture is of one's interpretation, but men moved by the Spirit spoke from God. God spoke through them. We know that God, in Hebrews chapter 1, spoke in many ways to the fathers, to the prophets, but now he has spoken through his Son. We see in Ephesians chapter 2 that we have been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The foundation's been complete. Now we're being built up in the Word of God. We know so clearly that within this, we now are being taught. Yes, there are people who would say they're prophets, but they're false prophets. But now we know that there are false teachers. Peter would say in 2 Peter 2, but false prophets arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They had false prophets when God was declaring through the prophets, he was speaking to his people, and the false ones were doing their thing. And now, when those are teaching the word of God, he has those who are his teachers, and yes, there's false teachers that will be among you. And so we need to be aware. Along with the true, there's going to be false. We see that. Indeed, throughout Scripture, we have warnings concerning false teachers and false brethren and false prophets. Here and later on in Matthew, we have Jesus warning about false prophets. We have Paul warning the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 about men who will arise and speak perverted things, and savage wolves will come from without. We have his warning in Romans 16, Galatians 1, Galatians 3, 2 Corinthians 11, Philippians 3, Colossians 2, which we're going to look at next week, Lord willing, Titus 1, 1 Timothy 2, and the Apostle Peter also warns us in 2 Peter chapters 2 and 3, and we're warned in the book of Jude. We're continually warned of those threats to the truth of God and the God of truth, those who would pervert his word, twist it, lessen it, or whatever it might be. So Jesus says here in our passage, beware of the false prophets. Take heed to turn away from false prophets. And this makes you think, well, why would God allow the false prophets? Why would he allow them? Well, we have one of the reasons in Deuteronomy chapter 13. One of the reasons he allows them. You can turn there, Deuteronomy chapter 13. It's not the complete reasoning, but it's one of the reasons he shares it. He says in Deuteronomy 13, if a prophet or dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign of wonder comes true concerning what you spoke, says, let us go after other gods which you have not known and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul. He's testing you. What do you love? Do you love him? Do you love his word? Or do you love that which is said in his name but is not of him? He's testing you. I certainly see that as one of the reasons. So then, we have this warning. Beware. Turn away from these false prophets. Beware, Jesus says. And they're a threat, first of all, to salvation. They're a threat to those entering because they share a false gospel. They're also a threat to us, or we wouldn't have those warnings. They're a threat to us in our relationship with Jesus. As we've seen throughout the book of Colossians, there are those who try to pull our hearts away from the sufficiency of the person of Jesus Christ by sharing through his word, by his spirit. And there are those who try to pull us away from that. So then, we have the Lord Jesus' words here. Now, we'll talk about sheep's clothing here. He says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. We'll talk about that in a minute, so keep that in the back burner there. But notice, first of all, the Lord Jesus describes their inward nature. And we need to see that. We tend to be very accepting people. We don't want to presume about people, and that's okay. We don't want to do that. We don't want to think badly about people, and that's good. We don't want to do that. But sometimes we can be naive, and we can be taken captive. We can be duped, in a sense. We saw in Colossians, see to it that we're not persuaded or deluded by persuasive arguments, right? So he says here, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, and we'll see that in a minute, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Here, the Lord Jesus shows us what's going on the inside. God sees the inside. We don't see the heart. Man looks at the outside, but God sees the heart. So don't presume you know what's going on, but we look at what God says and we understand. He says, inwardly, this is the part you can't see, they are ravenous wolves. The term ravenous speaks of vicious and destructive. It also came to carry another sense, which we don't see in our English translations here, of a swindler or a robber, someone who's violently greedy. They are violently greedy on the inside, these false prophets. They're ravenous. They're like ravenous wolves. You know, wolves would sneak up on the sheep and violently devour them for their own food, right? That's the illustration. That's the metaphor. We know the Apostle Paul, in his final words to the Ephesian elders, he called them from Miletus to Ephesus, and he says in Acts 20:20, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. They're going to come in, and they're going to attack like a wolf attacks a herd of sheep. They are violently destructive for their own gain. You need to see that. That's why we need to see the warning is very, very important. You know, if you're a good parent, you warn your children, watch out for that. Watch out for that dog. That's a mean dog. He'll bite you, right? You know, don't pet that dog, right? You know, and God cares for us. He says, turn away from these false teachers. They come to you in sheep's clothing. And again, we'll talk about that, but they are inwardly ravenous wolves. He's commanded these non-believing Jews who are an evil and adulterous generation, he's commanded to enter by the narrow gate. He's commanded them. But these ravenous wolves are there to turn them away, to destroy them spiritually for their own internal and external gain. So then, this is a threat. The Lord is sharing about this threat. And I ask you today, where is the genuine balanced concern in churches these days? Now, I'm not talking about bandwagon churches that always talk about false teachers all the time, every time you go, it's always false teachers, or ministries that are always about them. I'm not talking about an unbalanced view. I'm talking about where are churches that are balanced in warning and sharing the word of God to protect the flock. So then, we are to take heed, we are to turn our attention from false teachers because they are ravenous wolves on the inside. They're like that. They are externally spiritually dangerous to us, but internally they're doing it for this vicious gain. Now, the Apostle Paul would even say, hey, you know, I got to remind you again about this stuff because it's the right thing to do. He would tell the Philippians, Philippians 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, but it is a safeguard to you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. Saying, beware of those bad guys. Indeed, in pointing out false teaching, Paul makes it clear to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:6, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Pastors and teachers and elders should be pointing out these things when they come upon the flock, saying, this is not good, this is bad, don't buy into it. They should be pointing it out. They should be showing you through the Word of God why it's wrong. Have you ever truly grasped the spiritual danger that is associated with those who would pervert, twist, lessen, omit, or ignore God's Word? It's very dangerous. Do you see the warnings in Scripture as a safeguard for you? How do you respond to those who would relay these truths to you? We're to turn our attention away from. You know, false teaching somehow it's got some kind of attraction to us. It does somehow in our flesh, whatever it is. It's deceitful. We're to turn away from it. We're to turn our attention away from it. And now notice as we continue, he's going to reveal how we can spot them. How we can spot these false teachers. The first thing he's going to say is they're counterfeits. They come deceptively. Look at this. Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, certainly we think of sheep, you know, as the metaphor as we are his sheep, right? We are his people. That sheep represent those who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are those who have entered through the door of the sheep, Jesus Christ, John 10. They are those who have believed in Jesus. We are his sheep. Now, certainly that's true, but here, you know, some would say it's just talking about people who claim to be believers, but I think it goes much farther than that. This term sheep's clothing or sheep's garb spoke of the woolen outer garment that shepherds would wear. This is the garments that shepherds would wear. They come to you portraying themselves as shepherds of the flock. They portray themselves falsely as shepherds. They come to you in shepherd's garb. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They are representing themselves to be shepherds of the flock, spiritually speaking. Beware of the false prophets who make themselves out to be God's shepherds, who portray themselves to be shepherds, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. We know that the false prophets we saw in Jeremiah 23, they claim to speak for God, but they don't. He says, I did not send these prophets. I didn't send them. If I did, they would have spoke my word and they would have turned my people from their sin. It's a great principle, by the way. Jude, in making every attempt to write to us about our common salvation, says, certain people have crept in unnoticed into the church. Those who long beforehand marked out for condemnation.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in your message, you asked a very important question.
Yes, Dave, I did. And that question is, have you ever truly grasped the danger of being associated with those who would pervert, omit, or twist, or lessen God's word? And do you see the warnings in Scripture as a safeguard for you? Well, we hope you do, because if you don't, you're in great spiritual danger, but that's not God's desire. Well, we're out of time.
So we'd encourage you to make plans to join us tomorrow for our next broadcast of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.